Cover your desk. Startled, I stared at her. She was still giving me a pointed look, but even through the wild jungle of my panic, I recognized that it wasn't a look of disappointment. She seemed concerned.
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Forcing myself to nod, I stood from my desk. As my chair made a clumsy scraping noise against the floor, I darted out of our shared office. It wasn't until I was 3 cubicles away from the supply closet and one of the senior architects gave me a weird side eye that I realized I hadn't stopped nodding or clutching my phone. It didn't matter. Maybe nothing mattered. Maybe not even cheese mattered. Ceasing my inane nodding, I redirected my attention to my sleeve, fiddling with the buttons in order to avoid eye contact. I then pulled at the keys attached to my waist and unlocked the closet. Once inside, I shut the door behind me and flicked on the light, hoping none of the staff architects had spotted my mad dash. Architects were like junkies around office supplies, insatiable. I didn't understand their preoccupation with mechanical pencils and graph paper, especially since all their work and renderings were done using computer models. Regardless, we could never keep either in stock. I once had a junior architect buy me a fruit basket for a packet of highlighters. I felt like saying, "Dude, anyone can buy highlighters, just go to an office supply store." Instead, I wrote her a thank you note. Staring at the screen of my phone, I pushed past the rising tide of fear and redialed Uncle Eugene's number. He picked up the phone immediately.
"Hello?"
"Hello," I said. Waited. When he was quiet, I added, "It's me, it's Kat."
"Yes, I know."
I waited again. When he said nothing else, I asked, "What am I going to do? Please tell me what to do."
"You don't have many options."
He sounded grim, but then he always did. I appreciated his consistency. Eugene Marks wasn't really my uncle. He was my family's lawyer, but I'd known him since I was a kid, and he'd always been nice to me. Grim, but nice. The bar had been set so low by my blood relatives to the extent that Uncle Eugene had been my favorite person growing up. I always remembered his birthday with a hand-stamped card and an edible bouquet of mostly pineapple. Pineapple was his favorite. "Please tell me my options." I paced within the small closet.
"Fine. First option. You allow your cousin to become the guardian of your person and your property. He will promptly commit you, take control of your inheritance when the time comes, specifically your controlling shares in Caravelle Pharmaceuticals, and you may spend the next several years institutionalized. You'll have control of your accounts and finances. Therefore, you'll have no funds for legal representation."
See? Grim, right? "Please explain to me how any of this is possible. I've been voluntarily going to counseling for just over 2 years now. I earned my GED and my AA all on my own. Now I'm putting myself through the part-time business program at the University of Chicago, maintaining a 3.9 GPA while working full-time."
"Yes. Even though some of those actions will work in your favor, it won't be enough."
"Please explain."
"Firstly, you aren't ready to lead a multinational pharmaceutical empire."
"I agree. Of course I'm not ready." I kept my tone calm, firmly dispassionate. "But I have been flying there 2 weekends a month, haven't I? I've been meeting with you, the board, learning, preparing. As far as I know, the board is happy to vote my father's shares as a collective until I reach 31. That was the plan we all agreed to 2 years ago, and I've done everything asked of me."
"Except quit your job and move back to Boston."
I shook my head. "We've already discussed this." What I didn't say, what I hadn't admitted to anyone, was that I didn't know if I'd ever be ready to move back to Boston, to assume the role I'd been born into. I'd been stubborn, stalling, putting off the inevitable, because just the thought of living that life, living in that empty mansion sequestered from the real world, filled me with misery.
"Caleb has never been a proponent of the plan. He believes the shares should reside with the family, not with the board."
Eugene's reminder was unnecessary. Whenever I saw my cousin, he mocked me, told me how I'd failed my family and how I'd never be capable of leading the company. He'd say I was too shy, too inexperienced, too timid. Crazy, like my mother. His favorite